Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom, family. Shabbat Shalom. And to many, Barakathah Pesach. And happy Passover. I also want to say I hope you're enjoying the new year. The new year, how it's supposed to be. We are into it as the people of the Most High. You are tuned in to the Israelite Way of Life, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network. And I am your, Elder V. Good to be back with you. We've taken some much needed time off to take care of personal and family matters, and also been having a few problems here with the Blog Talk Arena. Tried to do the Straight No Chaser show and was actually knocked off the show and blocked out. So we hope to get back with you next week with that show and bring the information. But Thawada, thank you for your support. Your continued support. This is a day that the Most High has made. So let me bring us back on point focus, for our endeavor today is to chase the devil out of the earth, but not only that, to worship and praise the Most High with all that's in us. For this is the Sabbath, a day of rest. Some of you celebrated the Passover last week. Some of you are still within your week of unleavened bread. And some of you have just begun the Passover. Listen, I appreciate the fact that you're recognizing the Passover and coming out of this world and its pagan customs, and that you're doing the best you can to honor the Most High. We will not let there be confusion amongst us. We are here to honor Him and to honor the Passover. Let us come before our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this Shabbat, this day of rest. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Our Abba, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, and Thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I pray for those who are not only awakening, but becoming aware of their surroundings and circumstances, that You strengthen them today, and that those who are still bound by customs will begin to see the lies and the falsehood that surround them within this world and this atmosphere. Right now, I also ask that You strengthen Israel, strengthen Your people, the 12 tribes, a scattered diaspora, and that You will encourage their hearts and cause them to be content with such things as they have: food, clothes, and raiment, and peace, contentment within You and Your word and Your goodness. For we await Your soon return. We know the whole earth is groaning for the returns of the sons and daughters of the Most High. This earth is reeling and rocking, but You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. For no weapon formed against us can prosper, and we stand in the liberty and the victory wherewith You have made us free by the death, burial, and resurrection of Your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. And we love You for it. We glorify You. We lift You up. For in You we live, move, and have our being. We dwell and we rest in it. For we know that there is no temptation that You have not gone through, and You have overcome this world. So we know we can overcome the world. Cause Your people to know that today, Father. Let Your Ruach, Your Holy Spirit, rest upon them and strengthen them and comfort as You sent it to do, and stir up every gift that's within them as we take this time out for a time of refreshing in You. As we come up out of the world and its customs and its religions, and we draw nigh unto You. You promised You draw nigh unto us. We want to be closer to You, Father, as we endure temptation and hardships and come to understand to the point maybe we can be like Musa, Moses, or like Enoch, and just walk with You, walk with You, walk with You. Make a way for our people. Provide. Be provision. We thank You for everything that You've done, and we ask these blessings in the name of Your dear Son, our brother, Yeshua HaMashiach. Let it be. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I hope you find yourself on this day with your head up high and encouraged, for this is the Shabbat, and on these shows we talk about Hebrew culture, which is our Hebrew history book. Yes, you, black man, Mexican man, Latino man, that's what I'll say, the scattered diaspora of you who have been forsaken and downtrodden as a people and have become humiliated because we did not obey our Father. And we disobeyed Him according to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and did not keep the commandments, but we still go back and we're waking up. And we go back to understand what our culture and what was given to us as a people, a called out people, a Kodesh people, and what the Most High requires of us. And in this, we have our protection, our safety, our understanding. And this is how we connect to who we are. This is what this show is designed to do. If you have not listened, we are commandment keepers. For He said, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. What is sin? He said that sin is transgression of the law, and we believe that and we follow that here, and that's what our people are waking up to. We understand that repentance is not a 360 circle, but it's returning back to the statutes, laws, and commandments. How can you begin to worship another god of wood and stone, a wooden cross? You worship that stone. You want to get to Mecca. and kiss the rock. How can you worship other gods of wood and stone and continue in your sin and grace and say the law is done away with, but every church you go to, temple you go to, they want to impute their beliefs, their laws, and things you must conform to when you join their little churches and fraternities. You'd rather obey their laws than obey the Most High's laws. Well, I'm here to let you know that we've been called to be set apart. And the only way we're going to be able to be set apart is by keeping his dietary laws and his dressing laws and these various laws. And those are the things that we get into because we're coming back to it. And there's only going to be a third that will make it into the new wilderness when he returns, because not everybody's going to want to conform because people don't have the discipline. They fear man more than they fear the Most High. They fear man more than they fear the Most High. And woe be unto you, because this whole earth has been turned over into the hands of the wicked. And you fear the wicked because they impute their beliefs, their laws, and their policies upon you. And we know that every aspect of upper government is controlled by the fallen angels. If you don't know about that, get the book of Enoch or read the book of Jude. The angels that were assigned to be the watchers that began to sleep, the daughters of man. No, it wasn't from the seed of Seth. That's a lie from theologians that have been taught by the Roman Catholic Church from their theology schools and their cemetery schools, where every pastor goes to be trained how to think, translate, interpret the scriptures in the way that they tell them to, so that they can pass this down to you and have you do just what you're getting ready to do this weekend. Celebrate a pagan holiday, which is actually steeped in satanic worship, rituals, and human sacrifice. And you're participating in it even when you go to the first day sun worship and send your kids on an Easter egg hunt outside of your so-called pagan church, you are participating in all of the rituals and customs that are taking place on this day. But listen, the Most High said, come out from amongst her, my people. And that's what it's time to do. This is a moneymaker for the world. Not only is it a moneymaker, it's something to medicate you and keep you numb as to what's really going on around you, because I'm quite sure as you all will be out shopping and getting involved in the customs, another bill, another policy will be signed that leads to your destruction, or destroying your family, or destroying these countries, or imploding the economy so that they can ultimately have control over mankind. These laws that the Most High gave us are not done away with, and we must follow them. We will talk about the Passover today, and we'll talk about the true Lamb of God, and cover some of these things about Easter. As a matter of fact, we can continue with some of the information about Easter. Many perhaps pagan religions in the Mediterranean area had a major seasonal day of religious celebration during the spring equinox, and that's what they would call this, the vernal equinox, spring equinox. You've heard all of these things, but actually this time was time for these paganists and Wiccans and neo-pagans to celebrate Phrygian, the fertility goddess. They believed that there were some other goddesses that they worshipped at that time, too. There was it wasn't just this particular one. There's Ashtaroth, which is from ancient Israel, Astarte from ancient Greece, Demeter from Mycenae, and Hathor from ancient Egypt, Ishtar from Assyria, Kali from India, and Ostara, a Norse goddess of fertility. Now, I hate to even call these goddesses because they mean nothing. They're dead. This is from Greek mythology. And as I mentioned, I was getting ready to go into the rant. I didn't lose my train of thought about the fallen angels sleeping with the daughters of men. They begat the giants, and the giants became the Nephilim, an offspring of fallen spirits. These spirits still wander and possess people till this day. Know that your politicians that are in high offices have been thoroughly vetted and possessed and are controlled not only by your so-called, what people say, Illuminati or the elite or the few rich families of the world, but all of these people worship Satan and are possessed by demon spirits in order to control mankind and try and destroy the children of Israel. And they do this through these holidays, also the holidays. Those are their biggest days of worship that require human sacrifice. Let's not forget that over 800,000 to 1 million people are kidnapped and come up missing every year, never to be heard from again. No remains, no body found. This is an evil world, very corrupt. But you've been made to believe that it's happy, happy, happy because you're watching television programming, you're going to Disneyland, eating McDonald's burgers, and driving a car that has you in debt. You've got a big house that has you in debt. You've got your eyes on the wrong thing because you've been programmed. So the world is evil in its practices because Satan is running this world, and we're in the Gentile rule, and we're coming to the end of the Gentile rule. So there's a lot of demonic activity that's masquerading as normal. And they're trying to prepare you by telling you things about the new normal. As a matter of fact, there's a movie that opened this weekend called The Host. And they're calling this movie a love story. When in actuality, what's happening in this movie is that there are people that are hosting spirits and carrying them. And they are just desensitizing you to demonic possession, just as they were doing with the zombie attacks and telling you that people were zombified from smoking bath salts. Now, these people have demon spirits, as the man in the scriptures who was cutting himself when Christ appeared and immediately recognized who Christ was, fell to his knees and said, "Have you come to torment me before my time?" He had a legion of demons within him that cried out at one time. The whole world has been prepped for demonic possession as there's an arsenal being unleashed in this time. And so when we get into these holidays during this time, demonic activity is at a higher level. And these Christian churches participate in this, which is why we do not associate with the Christian church and their first day of the week sun worship, saying that the Sabbath is out and it's dead. It's not. And I am just livid with the fact that these churches on their first day of the week worship are having Easter egg hunts and celebrating rabbits and participating in this act of fertility. And then later falling out and singing and being slain in the spirit, not realizing that they're worshiping a Greek god by the name of Bacchus. This stuff goes way back if anybody would do any reading. But no, we just want to say this is Resurrection Day. No, it's not Resurrection Day. The days are off. And for the life of me, I can't get 3 days and three nights from your so-called Good Friday to Sunday. And you won't even count it. And when you see it, you immediately say, well, it don't matter. He rose. Read your Bibles. Read a book. Get some information. Yes, he did rise. But when did he rise? What are they trying to cover up? Why is the Roman Catholic Church taking over the scriptures, taught these pastors and these theologians to teach these lies to you? The synagogue of Satan have you following Judaism and have you thinking that we're following Judaism by doing the Passover. Yes, we believe in the Passover, but we're not following Judaism. We're following our Hebrew customs, which are a part of our culture, which are a part of the Mosaic laws, which still exist in the New Covenant as well. And we're going to cover that. Now, listen, these goddesses, this was all centered around festivals. And a lot of these festivals would take place on the first day of the week where these people would wear white. One of the main festivals included the Latin word alba, which means white, and the people would wear white. It also meant sunrise, where you get your Easter sunrise service. This is a German. Yeah. And there's two popular beliefs about the origin of the English word Sunday. It is derived from the name of the Scandinavian sun goddess, Sunna, or Sunne. It is also derived from Sol, the Roman god of the sun. The phrase Dies Solis means day of the sun. The Christian saint Jerome commented, if it is called the day of the sun by the pagans, we willingly accept this name. For on this day, the light of the world arose. On this day, the sun of justice shone forth. You see where that madness came from. When in essence, I'm not going to do a complete study on this, but we're going to get into how Christ broke bread on the Passover, which was on the Shabbat. And so we know that they came and arrested him later. And then if you do the count, you'll realize that it was not on a Sunday. But we've been deceived because we've been trained and taught by those who desire our hurt, seek our destruction, and don't want us to come into the knowledge of the truth. Anything to keep us from coming back into prominence and connecting with the Most High. So this Easter is so steeped in paganism and falsehood and lies, but everyone is caught up into the traditions and customs of man. And nobody likes to break tradition because everybody is used to routine, because routine makes people feel comfortable and people need to feel they have a grip and a handle on their lives. Nobody's comfortable with letting Christ have their life, letting him order their steps. When we say, I acknowledge you to direct my steps, and we pray this is what it means, that you trust him, not in the religious practices of man. I don't trust in traditions. I don't trust in what it was is what it needs to be. This is all I've ever known. No, I trust him because the Holy Spirit moves like the wind, and the wind can change directions at any time. And when you trust him enough to direct your life and to alter your life because you're just passing through. I mean, technically, let me ask you a question. If you say you yielded to the Most High, then he's in control of your life. So you can sit up here and do like the world does, make all of these plans, and go to college, get your degree, say what you're going to be. But I don't know if you've ever heard of the word vicissitudes. It's another fancy word they use to explain this away. It's called the unexpected changes in life. What they should say is that the Most High is in control, and everything you plan can crumble and change the drop of a dime. This is why we find peace and contentment in serving and loving him, because our joy is full when we come into the understanding that the Most High is in control. Count it all joy. The joy of the Most High is my strength. The Father, this is where your joy is, not in your customs, not teaching your children lies and these pagan origins. No. That's not what it's about. So we want to get away from that. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Lamb, the true Lamb of God, and why he's at the forefront of the Passover, which is what we are all about. That's what's in the scripture. Easter, if you look in the Greek, they changed the word Passover to Easter in the Greek from the words we just read. And that's from your people and their transliterations and your Jesuits and your priests and the scholars that came and tried to change the words and alter the words and still do with every translation of a Bible, constantly infusing words in and taking words out as they remove the name of the Father and they remove the name of the Son. It's no J. Came about in the 16th century. The last letter of the alphabet to come about. So his name is not Jesus. His word is from the Hebrew interpretation of my Savior, my husband, Ishi, which is Yesha, not Yahushua. No, Yesha. That's his name, Yesha HaMashiach, whom you call Jesus the Christ. So learn to do your research and your studying and stay away from these pagan holidays, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. these all come around these pagan festivals and the vernal equinox and the so-called change of their seasons and calendar. They did not want you to know that this is the new year, which is why they came up with April Fool's Day. We're in the new year. And they figured they had the last laugh when they changed the calendar on us to throw us off as Hebrews so we'd lose our custom and our culture. Because Psalms 83 said, let's make them no more. Let's wipe the name of Israel off the map, take away their customs and cultures. And then you have the Khazarians that try and steal our customs and culture and start speaking Yiddish, start calling themselves Jews. No 12 tribes. This is foolishness, madness. So when we come back, we're going to get into some of the scriptures on the Lamb and the Passover, how it started in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And just pray that Block Talk works with us, and that we'll be able to come back without any interruption. Be right back after this.
Yeah.
Shabbat Shalom. Okay, welcome back, welcome back. Thought that song right there was befitting the Brother Bob Marley. Brother Bob Marley sang Exodus, Exodus. Brother way before his time, for sure. Way before his time. And let's sum up the story in the Old Testament. Many of you probably know it. We can go to some scripture. Let's look at Exodus, the 12th chapter. You can also find it in Numbers, the 9th chapter. There's a lot of similarities between those two chapters. This is the month of Abib, which consists of maybe like a combination of March and April, which was the actually only month that was mentioned in the Bible. After that, each month is considered month two, month three, month four. Abib, which was the spring, was the beginning of the new year for the Hebrew calendar, for the Most High's calendar, not just Hebrew's calendar, which also necessitated that we do a few things, but it was also the time that we began, that Passover came into fruition, where the lamb had to be sequestered and prepared early in the beginning of the new year and readied for the 14th day, where we would be celebrating the Passover. Our people were getting ready to be, were getting ready for the exodus out of captivity, out of Egyptian captivity, seeing that we were being held captive and we were under bondage and slavery and laboring and servitude. And the Most High had gone through a series of plagues to get Pharaoh through Moses to release his people as he was preparing for a people for a great exodus, a mass exodus. And one of the final plagues was going to be that all firstborn had to die. The firstborn of everything, even of cattle, even of the men in jail, every firstborn is going to have to die. But let's read this in Exodus, the 12th chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel. And let me say this. There are many different societies at that time that had their own calendars. They looked like a hot mess that went everywhere. Somewhat like our calendar with its leap years and various changes. And all of the changes that begin to just spring up in the early ADs of 70 and months, adding days, a mess, no consistency, there's nothing equal about the months that give us the right amount of days. It doesn't represent the Most High. It's not even according to how he operates. But I just wanted to pause parenthetically for a second. I'm not here to do a teaching on that. Verse 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take, for we know that, let me pause at 7, for we know that the beginning of a day is the ending of another day, which is the evening. For the evening and the morning are the day, as we know that from Genesis, within the first chapter. Exodus 12 and 7. And they shall take up the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. For I am Ahayah, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over. You and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Most High throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. Yes, let me pause with forever. Now, what does that have to do with Easter and your Easter eggs? How many of you had lamb last night or last week or Monday with you full moon, whatever? Y'all off too, but how many of you had lamb? Point being, forever is forever until he comes back and he ends forever. He does not change. And then afterwards, you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread in verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That means anything with yeast in it that's risen, even cookies with yeast in it, supposed to be put out of your house. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is not Jewish, for we know those people are of Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9. They are trying to steal our customs, which come from our Torah, our Old Testament, and we were to put all of the bread out as a memorial for him delivering us from the captivity of Mitzrayim, Egypt. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Let's look at some of the parallels in Numbers, the 9th chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. Now, this is when it became law, how it was to continue even in this time. We're going to get to the new covenant in a minute. Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover as at his appointed season in the 14th day of this month. At even ye shall keep it in his appointed season according to all the rites of it, according to all the ceremonies thereof shall ye keep it. This is the Most High establishing what he did when he delivered them and saying, continue. Don't forget the memorial. This is forever. I brought you out, but just keep the Passover going. And this is how you should continue it. And they, verse 5, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at even in the wilderness of Sinai. Even in Sinai. So if they could do this in the wilderness when they didn't have a land and they were wandering and they were looking, what makes you think that we can't continue this in this captivity of the daughter of Babylon, America, where we're still not free? Verse 6, and there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, and they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back that we may not offer an offering of the Most High in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Most High will command concerning you. And the Most High spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Most High. So he was saying, when the Passover comes, this is just how serious it was. Because normally in these days, anything that was unclean, you were not allowed to even come into the temple. Most of these mistakes that were made in the Old Testament, you were killed for. Let's move on to... So that is the understanding of the Passover and the lamb being emphasized in the Old Covenant. That lamb had to be clean, perfect, male. I love the way that that it was put, because we understand probably how a lot of you used to say it in church. Some of you still say it. I know some of you may have to go to church with your families. I don't forbid that. There's nothing wrong with that. Winning your family is very wise. There's certain things that you may have to do to win, but there's things that you don't have to associate with or partake in. And that's a good time, opportunity for questions to arise, where you can answer and explain why you don't do certain things, why you're not going to eat the ham, why you're not going to, why you're not going to, like, just various things, whatever may come up. But I know you'll hear this, what it says: the Lamb shall be without blemish. For we know that the Lamb of the Most High, Christ, was without blemish, without blame. He was spotless. We go to 1 Corinthians 5, 7 through 8. Let's look at the Old Testament, since y'all say the Old Testament. Let's look at the New Testament, since you say the Old Testament is done away with. 1 Corinthians, this is Shaul 5, 7 and 8. Apostle Paul: purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. What? What did Paul say? Is Paul still, thousands of years later, keeping the feast, telling people to keep the feast? In spite of Christ being our Passover now? So wait a minute. Let me see if I got this right. Paul is telling us that Christ has become our Passover. He is our rest. And then saying, but let us keep the feast. I thought it was done away with. We don't have to keep the laws no more. It's all done away with. Christ is our Passover. No, it's saying right here in verse 7, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Let me just go ahead and allude to it right now. Christ made it clear in Matthew 5 and 17. I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. To fulfill it. This is what you must be clear on, because this is what they'll bring up when these Christian churches want to get into a debate with you. When it's totally here, it's all in how you interpret the scriptures. But scripture interprets scripture. You don't need nobody to try to read something into what you're reading with a Jedi mind trick and tell you this is what it's saying. No, it's saying what it's saying. Let me tell you what Galatians 3 and 13 is saying. Galatians 3 and 13 is saying, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I mean cross, tree. No, you said cross. Tree, cross with three nails, tree, which is why they were hanging us from trees when we were in captivity and came over here as slaves. Christ was hung from a tree, not a cross. That became a pagan symbol that the Roman Catholic Church used in their inquest and their conquest when they were forcing Roman Catholic Christianity upon people and getting them to walk away from the commandments and the Torah and the Tanakh. They created the cross. That was their symbol. Here it is right here. The curse that he redeemed us from was the curse of death when you broke the laws. Because we're under mercy and grace now, we don't have to face death or stoning or be thrown out of the camp permanently because we break the law. Because he became a curse for us when he hung on a tree. I think that's one of those scriptures they forgot to take out and hide from us before they decide to come up with a cross and use it in vampire movies. Let's look at what it says in Psalms 130 and 8. Psalms 130 and 8, real quick. Psalms 130 and 8, before I get right back to that. Just getting you some precepts. Psalms 130 and 8, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Now that's a whole other lesson in itself. I thought God so loved the whole world that he gave his only son. Psalms 138, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. He said, love not the world nor the things of the world. Listen, for even Christ, and he is our Passover, and we do have mercy and grace, but this is to be done forever. So what we want to do is remember. Many of you, I hope you enjoyed some of the best meat on the land, which is some lamb, and that you roasted it over fire and ate some bitter herbs, such as lettuce and horseradish and some unleavened bread, which is all in the stores for the fake Jews. They have it everywhere. I hope you cleaned your house from the leavened bread as a memorial, because this is your story, and it is to be continued. It was not done away with. 1 Corinthians 5 and 8, therefore, let us keep the feast. What did you say, Paul? Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. Clean your house out. Clean the sin out of your lives. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, which is very much key. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread. Listen, not only are we remembering how they did it in the Old Testament and we using the unleavened bread, but Paul's making it clear also about your heart and your life. The leaven, which was sin and false doctrine. And he's saying the unleavened would be sincerity and truth and getting rid of the wickedness and the malice. When we say sincerity, which is elekinia in the Greek, we're saying with purity. And we know what it is to be pure and to be kodesh and to be set apart. And then when we talk about truth, which the Greek word is aletheia, it means to not have a life where you conceal things, not concealing and hiding things and being dishonest. So now our unleavened in serving him during to give to Christ during this time, who is our Passover and our festival of unleavened bread, is to conduct your life in a style where you are living honestly, first of all, to yourself. And then you can know how to act that way with your neighbor and not to be concealing things, as we talked about on one of the previous Shabbats, about those who lie and what the spirit of a lie is and where it comes from and what it puts upon your lives, to do away with all of that. And to continue in the Passover and the festivals and the feasts. This is Apostle Paul in the New Covenant telling us that this is where we're to be, and not to be emphasizing what we talked about in the beginning of the program, which is Easter, which is pagan, which has nothing to do with us, which was infused into these scriptures by your Jesuits and these scribes and forced upon you by the Roman Catholic Church. Hieratazo is the Greek word for festival, and it's important for us to continue in these festivals. I'm just going to read a few more precepts centered around 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8 before we get ready to close out, because I know you want to continue in your Shabbat and your festival, or some of you may be closing out your Pesach. Some of you may be just entering it. I'm not here to dispute that today. Let's look at Isaiah 53 and 7. I am sure the Most High is pleased that you are in memorial of what he told us should be a memorial forever, which is his Passover in this first month of the year of his calendar. Isaiah 53 and 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. If you remember, we read in Exodus about a spotless lamb, and this associates Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, with that lamb, because he became that lamb, that sacrifice, and his blood became what is what was put over our lives. To let there be a Passover that exists. So believe it or not, he's saying that there's protection, and there's also him redeeming us from the curse of the law. So there's no death from you breaking it. Now you have redemption. You have that protection, that covering that comes from the shed blood of Christ. because he became our spotless lamb that sacrificed once and for all and redeemed us from the curse of the law, because he did not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. And that is the fulfillment, that just as the Old Testament, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. You have that divine protection. Don't let everybody keep talking to you about Satan, the devil, and get you afraid of it like it's a horror movie. Because no weapon formed against you can prosper. He cannot do anything to you. Stop this whole boogeyman image. If you remember the book of Job, Satan had to get permission before even touching Job. And Satan told the Most High, you got that hedge around him. Understand what that hedge is, which we are experiencing today due to the sacrifice and Christ being our Passover and our peace. And we are in memoriam of this time, during this time, because we have the understanding of the times. We understand the times, which is important. We are no longer in a slumber and a sleep to think that New Year comes in the heat dead of winter in January. We understand who we are as a people and these customs in our culture, and we stand fast in that. We awaken ourselves and we stand to attention. Let me go to a few more precepts. Let's look at what even Peter was saying in 1 Peter 1 and 10. I hope I'm calling that right. Let's go to Revelations 5 and 12. Just getting more precepts based upon the Lamb, as we're talking about the true Lamb, the true sacrificial Lamb. Revelations 5 and 12 says, saying with a loud voice, worship, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Let's look at one more. Let's go to John 19 and 14. And then we'll get ready to talk about also what initiated the new covenant's Passover as well. John 19, 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. As they were preparing for the Passover, the disciples who kept the Passover. Don't let anyone tell you that. When they went to Antioch, it was the first time they heard the word Christians. But the disciples were keeping what Christ came to fulfill. Go to John, 22nd chapter, the 11th chapter. Understand, brothers and sisters, that Christ is our peace, and he is our Passover. And that he made it clear to the disciples that right before he was to be taken up, that it was the Passover night that he broke bread with them. And he said he would not do this again until he returns. And so during this new year and this month, this time where we remember the Passover, we remember the breaking of bread, the shedding of blood, and the ultimate sacrifice that he made for us, but not in a pagan way. We do not celebrate the first day, or we're not in sun worship, or we do not celebrate Easter. But we remember the breaking of bread, which was his body. I want to read the precept that's in Joshua, the book of Joshua, as we go line upon line, precept upon precept, from the old covenant to the new covenant. Joshua 24 on 14th. And that reads, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Most High." In the 14th verse, we have him speaking of sincerity and truth, just as we have Paul speaking of sincerity and truth in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, 8, in their continuance of the Passover, the Pesach. And it is barakified, it's blessed. It is blessed. And this is so important to Israel. Quam Yasharala, Israel. Rise, rise, rise. And as we rise and awaken, we must keep the festivals, because even the apostles mandated that we continue in the festivals while Christ is our Passover, and we continue in the Shabbat, in our time of rest and peace, because it is our strength and it's our barrier, our safety, our protection, our culture, and what causes us to be set apart and to be Kodesh. For there was a lamb, and it was Yesha HaMashiach, that was sacrificed for us, that we're no longer under the curse, but we are to keep the laws. Come up out of man's laws. Don't fear man. Are you church's laws? See, these Christian churches are crumbling and tumbling down under their lust for money and fame. There's no difference between them and the world. These 501c3 organizations that are tied to this Roman Catholic Church and all of its demonic worship, with their Dagon hats on and these wearing white. We just brought out earlier in the broadcast where all of that came from. Come out from amongst her, Israel. Let us keep our holy convocations, our set-apart convocations. And even if you don't have fellowship in your region, we come together over these airwaves, Facebook, Skype, whatever we have to do. Let us walk in the statutes and commandments of the Most High, and what he has given for us to do, to be Kodesh, as we await his soon return, because he's coming back as a man of war. And you want to be prepared. You want to be ready. You want to be looking for him by walking as close as you can to him, not as far away as you can get from him and be like the world. No, we don't assimilate. We're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. This is Elder V. You've been listening to The Israelite Way of Life, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network. And I'm going to tell you, as we always say, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey, not a destination. Shabbat Shalom, Barakathah, Pesach, continue in the ways of the Most High. And let us lift each other up. Quam Yasharala. Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space.
I've gone.